From WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Rain is falling across central North Carolina at this hour, but this is just a small band. This is the main event that arrives tomorrow. All detail our updated severe weather risk coming up.
Also, just moments ago, the EPA announced the first ever standards on drinking water. We are live with how the government hopes to protect drinking water.
Plus, millions of Muslims around the world, including here in the Triangle, gather to celebrate Eid al-Fitr and pray for peace in Gaza.
And right now, straight up noon, we have a live look at the DBAP. We're over there in Durham. The Bulls athletic facility is covered with clouds right there. A live look from our WRAL live cam network. Few showers falling across parts of our viewing area in the Triangle right now. Ahead of could be a powerful front bringing severe storms tomorrow. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at the timeline for rain today and storms tomorrow.
And I was just looking over some of the new model data that we get in midday. And the latest thoughts for the timing of the severe storm threat tomorrow is from about noon to 8 p.m. That's when we have a risk for damaging wind gusts or perhaps an isolated tornado and some heavy pockets of rain moving through as well. Here's what's new, though. The risk is slightly lower today for tomorrow compared to what we were looking at yesterday. Nowhere in North Carolina is there a level 2 threat for severe storms anymore. It is a level 1 threat for damaging winds and an isolated tornado. And the reason for this is that the earlier arrival of the rain in the morning with an initial round may help to limit how much thunderstorm energy is available in the atmosphere. For today, we're not expecting any severe weather or any strong thunderstorms, anything like that. It's rain that we are tracking, light but steady rain falling across the northern part of our area. These are the showers that were moving through the triangle earlier. They're lifting up to the north and east. So moving away from the triangle, the best chance of a shower over the next couple of hours is going to be in our northern counties, closer to the Virginia border. Again, this is just nuisance rain. It's light but steady rain that's falling in our northern counties, still around as the kids are heading home from school up toward the Virginia border. But later on this evening and tonight, we are likely to dry out. And then overnight, we could begin to see some light rain moving in. Notice South Carolina, much more active radar picture at 6 a.m. there tomorrow morning. We begin to see the intensity of the rain picking up as we get toward the late morning hours and lunchtime. And then it's lunchtime through about 8 o'clock when we could see some thunderstorms embedded in this line here. And any of these storms could be strong to perhaps severe. I think that threat should come to an end closer to 8 o'clock. And we'll have a closer look at what to expect as we get past this system coming up.
Kat, thanks. Federal and state officials are in Fayetteville right now, where the head of the EPA just announced national regulations for forever chemicals. It's a first-of-its-kind move, and WRL's Liz McLaughlin was there for that news conference. So, Liz, what does this new rule mean for us here in North Carolina?
Well, Jeff, it's just a moment of celebration today for many with tainted water from here in Fayetteville all the way to Wilmington. You can see the event is just wrapping up right now. But officials say the new rule aims to make drinking water safer for 100 million Americans who've been exposed. Officials say this new rule can protect people from getting thousands of different illnesses, including cancer. The new rule requires utilities to comply by reducing their PFAS, five different individual PFAS numbers to near zero levels, the lowest that can be detected. EPA Administrator Michael Regan was here to announce that new rule in the Fayetteville area, an area that has been grappling with cleanup of these toxic chemicals for years now. In 2017, researchers discovered the chemicals had been leaching out from a nearby chemical plant owned by Chemours, going into the groundwater and drinking water here.
We proposed legislation to the General Assembly to hold polluters accountable and to make them clean up their own mess.
PFAS doesn't care what your politics are, doesn't care where you live, doesn't care how much money you have in your pocket. When it comes to the basic needs of clean drinking water, no matter what your political party is, or whether you live in the South, on the West Coast, or in the Midwest, everyone should be able to turn on their tap and trust that the water that they're drinking and giving their children is safe.
This is the first regulation for contaminants in drinking water in 28 years. Many say this is a long overdue protection, but some utilities and other groups are saying that it will be a big bill to pay, that it will be very hard to comply to these strict standards. Here at PwC, they estimate the cost of a granular activated carbon unit at $80 to $100 million. Today, Regan also announced an additional $1 billion in funding for utilities and states to help comply with these testing and upgrades, but it's likely that some of that cost will be passed on to taxpayers.
All right, Liz McLaughlin live in Fayetteville for us. This is a lot of information there, first of its kind. You can learn more about the impact of PFAS pollution on North Carolinians by watching our WRL documentary, Forever Chemicals, North Carolina's Toxic Tap Water. You can find that at WRL.com under the documentary tab.
New this noon, we now know the name of the person who died in a crash involving a tanker truck in Johnston County. This is video of the scene as firefighters try to put out the flames that engulfed the vehicles. This happened yesterday around 5 on NC-39 in the Wilson's Mills community of Johnston County. Troopers say Quinton Greer was speeding, crossed the center line, and hit a tanker head-on. Diesel fuel and gasoline spilled all over the highway. Greer was dead on the scene. The driver of the tanker truck was not injured.
When state lawmakers return to work later this month, one of their first issues may be immigration. They're expected to take up a bill that would require sheriffs in North Carolina to cooperate with federal immigration officials. WRL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joins us live now. Laura, this sounds familiar. Explain to us.
There's a good reason this sounds familiar. This will be the fourth year out of the past five that lawmakers have had this debate. The bill would require sheriffs in North Carolina to hold suspected undocumented immigrants in custody at the request of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, otherwise known as ICE, without a warrant or an official detainer. ICE has a program that's known as, for that, rather, as known as 287G, and sheriffs can choose to participate in it, and many of them do, but they're not required to, and some sheriffs in larger counties have refused. Now, those sheriffs say if someone they arrest makes bond and is otherwise free to go, they don't have authority to continue to hold them without legal justification. Wake County is on that list, and so are Durham and Mecklenburg counties.
Why return to this year? I mean, this is an election year, but is it important right now?
You are right on the nose, right? Cooper has already vetoed this twice, in 2019 and 2022. But in those years, there were enough Democrats here at the legislature to uphold a veto. That is no longer the case. Republicans now have a supermajority and can override a veto. Now, the House passed a version of this bill last year, but the Senate did not take it up. This, however, as you noted, is an election year, and immigration is a top issue for GOP voters. Republican lawmakers say it's important to protect public safety here in North Carolina. And they point to a case in Mecklenburg County where an undocumented immigrant was released and went on to commit a violent crime. They say if he had been detained at ICE's request, that would not have happened. But opponents, which include many legal immigrants, say it would have a chilling effect on the relationship between local law enforcement and immigrant communities, making those communities less likely to report crimes. This is likely to be one of the first issues we'll hear debated in this year's short session, which will be starting at the end of the month.
No doubt. We'll see if the fourth time is any different. Try. All right. Laura Leslie, live at the state legislature for us. Thank you.
Public comment got heated again at last night's Raleigh City Council meeting. One woman held up her shoe, demanding that leaders listen to her. She was one of several who showed up calling for council to pass a resolution supporting a ceasefire in Gaza. Take a listen.
Marianne Baldwin, if I can keep from throwing the shoe at you, you can keep from off your phone while listening to your constituents talk. Please. Your people are trying to get you to hear them.
City Council did not take a vote on a ceasefire resolution last night. They did bring it up at a meeting last month. The council was split 4-4 on that vote, not enough for it to pass. Those opposed suggested adjusting the resolution's wording. New at noon, we're getting our first look at how Durham Schools wants to handle its pay problems in the new school year. Interim Superintendent Kati Moore will present her budget request at a Board of Education work session tomorrow. Moore's budget suggests asking local leaders for $217.4 million. That's a 12.5% increase over last year. The largest line item is an $8 million request that would fully fund revised salaries for classified staff. Those are teacher's assistants, therapists, cafeteria workers, anyone who is not a certified teacher. Nearly 1,900 of them were asked to take a pay cut earlier this year when the system learned they had been overpaid for months. That led to rallies and sick outs that closed some Durham public schools at the start of the year.
Thousands of local Muslims gathered today in the Triangle to celebrate Eid al-Fitr. It marks the first day Muslims returned to their regular lifestyles following Ramadan. Triangle organizers had expected about 7,000 visitors in Raleigh's Dorton Arena this morning. That number grew to more than 10,000, though, as they celebrated the feast of breaking the fast with the theme of nurturing joy amid reflection on ongoing conflicts. In a statement, the Triangle's Imams Council said they remain steadfast in the condemnation of the indiscriminate Israeli attacks on civilians, the destruction of homes, houses of worship, and schools. They said they are also pleading with local members of Congress to stop military aid to Israel.
The White House is getting ready to host Japan's Prime Minister Fumio Kishida tonight for a state dinner. The event comes as the leader is in the U.S. for a visit. The First Lady says the event's decorations are inspired by spring flowers, Japanese gardens, and colorful fans. It's dinner and a show with Paul Simon scheduled to perform. The White House says the Japanese Prime Minister admires his music. Governor Cooper also planned to be at the dinner. Governor Cooper sat down with WRL's Deborah Morgan ahead of Prime Minister Kishida's plans to travel here to North Carolina Friday. Japan is the largest foreign investor in our state, with 225 companies and more than 30,000 workers. The Prime Minister's trip will include visits to the Toyota plant, Honda Jet, and a state lunch at the governor's mansion. Next at noon, a quick-thinking police officer didn't hesitate for a second, saving the life of a teenager drowning in a lake in Washington. The rescue video just released.
Also, the countdown is on to the Paris Summer Olympics, but the countdown to save the clock that is doing the counting down was unexpectedly removed. We'll tell you why.
Plus, Durham's State of the City address included an update on plans for a new police headquarters at 12:30, how it could include housing in parts of the old headquarters.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Tax day is Monday. If you haven't filed your taxes yet, time is running out. Jen Sullivan breaks down what the procrastinators need to do to avoid any penalties.
Time is running out to file your 2023 taxes. The deadline is Monday, April 15th. Everyone's taxes look different, but the most common documents you'll likely need to file are a W-2. That's your official wage and tax statement, which you should have received from your employer. A 1099, which are given by independent contractors to people like business owners, or if you've earned any interest from stocks or investments and or received any dividends. And a 1098 form, if you have a mortgage or student loan interest. The IRS offers tools to help you navigate through the filing process, and tax software like TurboTax and H&R Block can help you as well.
It's going to guide you through and make those calculations.
While it seems like a lengthy process, it can help deliver you a nice return this year. According to the IRS, the average direct deposit return is $3,209.
The fastest way to get your refund is to electronically file and to receive that refund through a direct deposit.
Experts also say the worst thing you could do is not file at all.
One of those mistakes that we see people make is they just get scared. And so then they put it aside and they say, no, I don't want to deal with it at all, which is about the worst thing you could do.
And if you really need more time, anyone can file for an extension, but you must do that by April 15th. That will give you until October 15th to file.
That was Jen Sullivan reporting. To request a tax extension, you'll need to file a 4868 form, which you can find by going to irs.gov.
The FDA is recalling some hand sanitizer gel for health risks. The recall includes Aruba Aloe hand sanitizer gel and alcohol gel. The agency says that the product had alcohol altered by methanol, which is used in industrial products instead of approved ethyl alcohol. Exposure could cause serious issues like seizures, permanent blindness, central nervous system damage, even death. Throw the product away if you have it. U.S. Postal Service wants to raise the price of stamps once again. If approved, the cost of a first-class stamp will go from 68 cents to 73 cents in July. Postal Service says the increase is necessary due to rising costs for processing and delivering mail. Similar increases would also go into effect for postcards, metered letters, and international mail. The agency is also looking for hikes in for money orders, feeds, and certified mail.
Transforming Durham's old police headquarters. We'll have a look inside the building that could someday house local residents. Plus,
when I got it, I'm like, that's it. I'm done. I've taken everything I need to take. This is the one.
Well, call it an eclipse hangover. How amazing images of the natural wonder are still captivating the world. And here's a look at your winning NC Education Lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Here's a live view of Fayetteville Street in downtown Raleigh from our WRAL Live camera network. Today, business owners and Raleigh residents will have the chance to talk about what changes they'd like to see in downtown. WRAL's Laura Levine is at Marbles Kids Museum to explain what leaders hope will come out of the big dream forum.
The city of Raleigh is looking for the next big idea, big dream, if you will, to envision what downtown Raleigh could look like. So whether it's more sidewalks for pedestrian safety or more fun things to do like the Marbles Kids Museum here, the opportunities are endless. The first focus of the economic development strategy has been Fayetteville Street. As you know, 10 major ideas were presented as the initial result of close collaboration with local residents, business owners, property owners, and other stakeholders. The president and CEO of the Downtown Raleigh Alliance, Bill King, he tells me they've been working on this plan for the last year, and community feedback is a major component to move forward. Since COVID, they've been working to address the downtown retail and office markets, advancing and supporting minority and women-owned businesses, and identifying other projects.
I think there's a lot of opportunities. You think about how are we going to connect downtown to Dix Park? I think that's a great opportunity. Is there some other entertainment option, whether that's a sports facility or something like that, that could be brought downtown? We've got a lot of government-owned land in downtown. Is there a way to re-envision that to do something different?
More than 100 people have signed up to share their thoughts about all of this. The DRA will compile all of that feedback into its study, which will be complete by midsummer. The event begins at 4:30. Laura Levine, WRAL News in downtown Raleigh.
Raleigh police officers and those supporting them are calling for better pay. Hundreds of Raleigh officers signed a petition asking the city to raise pay by 15%. It would take the officers' current salary from $50,000 to $58,000 a year. Other police departments are paying their officers more. Cary's base pay for officers starts at $60,000 a year. Members from Teamsters 391 shared their request for a raise at Tuesday's city council meeting. They pointed out more than 100 Raleigh police officer positions remain vacant.
One of the main reasons for so many vacancies is retention. Raleigh police officers continue to leave for other neighboring police departments with better pay.
The goal for the public comments was for city council to include the pay raise in the upcoming budget.
In his first State of the City address, Durham Mayor Leonardo Williams described the Bull City as being stronger than ever, despite having some challenges. WRAL's Noah Klein is here, and Noah, the mayor touched on some solutions that have been talked about a lot, bringing more affordable housing to that area.
Jeff, he did. Mayor Williams said one way to make and achieve affordable living as a whole, right, is to make the best decisions with that city-owned land. He's talking specifically here about the old site of the Durham Police Station, a prime piece of real estate in the Bull City. 505 West Chapel Hill Street is surrounded by that chain link fence, overgrown grass, and rusted out stairs. During his State of the City address, he offered his vision to transform that 4-acre property.
This city on land, we can provide housing options at every level, and we can provide beautiful open space and retail and commercial. We have so many options. I want you to trust us and allow us to make the best decision on behalf of the city.
Mayor Williams is asking for grace while city leaders work through figuring what to do with that sought-after land. Back in November, we reported six developers are hoping to get their hands on the property.
I can't blame them. It's a prime piece of real estate there. Noah Klein, thanks for that update.
Happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, bird flu has been detected here in North Carolina. It was detected in a dairy herd. Officials say it was also detected in dairy herds in Texas, Kansas, Michigan, Idaho, New Mexico, and Ohio. And movement of cattle from affected herds to North Carolina has been suspended. Agriculture Commissioner Steve Trockler said this is an evolving situation, and we will work collaboratively with federal partners and dairy farmers in North Carolina to handle the situation. They also say the FDA right now has no concern about the safety or availability of milk products, pasteurized milk products nationwide. Images of the incredible view from Monday's solar eclipse are circulating on social media and news broadcasts around the world. NBC's Liz Kreutz spoke with the photographer behind one of the awe-inspiring images that's now viral.
It's hard to say who shot it best. So many angles, so many perspectives, so many people capturing this historic moment. Photographers, some with iPhones, others with professional long lenses, spread out along the path of totality to capture the magic of the solar eclipse.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
One of the most breathtaking frames, this one of a plane on the edge of the sun's glow. The mesmerizing moment taken by 25-year-old Kendall Rust, an amateur photographer from Memphis who traveled to Jonesboro, Arkansas, never expecting to get the shot of a lifetime.
When I got it, I'm like, that's it. I'm done. I've taken everything I need to take. This is the one.
Her image going viral.
I've had comments from all the way from France to the UK. I had no idea it was going to reach this amount of people.
The photo, just one example of the beauty of this natural wonder and the shared experience of looking up, even from the sky. And space, that's the moon's shadow over North America.
How cool is it to know that you're there capturing the same eclipse as so many thousands of other people?
It's amazing. Just to be a part of that experience has been really incredible.
One eclipse, millions of unique perspectives, an extraordinary astronomical event lasting moments, but forever captured in these images. Liz Kreutz, NBC News.
Picture with the plane is one of the first ones I saw, and now I know where it came from. Good for her. Your solar eclipse glasses could still have a purpose. Eyeglass company Warby Parker is partnering with Astronomers Without Borders to help recycle and redistribute the used glasses. The glasses will be sent to schools or places around the world with limited resources, and they can use them for solar eclipse watching in the future. Gently used glasses with that ISO logo can be donated at Warby Parker retail locations or at Astronomers Without Borders. Drop-off locations until April 30th. You can do that.
Changes are coming to the federal government's food benefits program. Why women and children will now have access to healthier and more nutritious food options.
Plus, intense reaction from parents and teachers as Tennessee lawmakers passed a bill that would allow teachers to carry guns in schools. The requirements laid out in that bill for it to happen. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, just click report it in the WRAL News app. The FCC wants to make it easier for consumers to shop for internet plans. So starting today, products must have labels that detail what you can expect to pay, typical download speeds, and information about the internet provider's policies. The agency is hoping this transparency will give consumers basic information about different broadband options in a way that's easy to understand and bring some of the fine prints like early termination fees and data caps right into focus. The supplemental nutrition program known as WIC is undergoing the first changes in a decade. Officials at the USDA believe these updates align with the food program's packages with the best dietary science. Under the modification, millions of low-income women and children will get more fruits, vegetables, and seafood, but less dairy and juice. It also adds more non-dairy options like plant-based and lactose-free milk.
A new survey reveals that Generation Z is less happy than the rest of us. People from ages 12 to 26, they are having a harder time than previous generations did at their age. 75% of people surveyed reported being at least somewhat happy. But that number went down significantly as kids and teens reached adulthood. Researchers say the amount of sleep they got on weekends and a sense of purpose affected happiness. If you're looking for a free activity that can help you de-stress, just step outside. April is National Stress Awareness Month. Studies have shown that spending just 15 minutes outside can reduce your cortisol level, the stress hormone in the body, and boost the serotonin and dopamine level, all those feel-good chemicals in your brain. The sights, sounds, and smells of nature can have a calming effect. It can really help you clear your mind. By being present in the moment, you are practicing what's called mindfulness.
Lawmakers in Tennessee passed a controversial bill allowing teachers to carry guns in classrooms.
I do get the intention. This isn't the right way to go about it.
We'll hear from people on both sides of this debate as the measure heads to the State House.
Plus, access for all. Disney makes policy changes to make sure everyone can experience the happiest place on Earth.
Here's a live look this noon at Clayton as you watch WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. The clouds over Clayton. Roads look dry right there. Lots of places getting some raindrops right now. There's a bill that would allow teachers to carry guns in schools, and it's headed to the Tennessee State House. Not everyone approves.
Parents packed the gallery at the Tennessee Capitol in Nashville, including parents of the Covenant School in Nashville, where a shooter killed 3 9-year-olds and 3 adult staff members. Senators say the bill they voted to pass allows teachers to conceal carry guns if they want to.
Well, I think there are enough safeguards in the bill to make sure that teachers and students and parents' rights were protected.
I've been a teacher for 17 years, and I can't imagine ever being put in that position. I don't think I could ever do that. I don't know that I'd feel safe to stay in a teaching role, to be honest with you.
Under the measure, teachers would have to complete a week-long course, be approved by county sheriff's departments, take a psychological test, have annual training, and get principal approval. Today, we'll learn more about the effort to find a new superintendent for Durham Public Schools. The school board will hold a special meeting at 4 this afternoon for an update on the search. DPS is working to replace Pascal Mubenga, who resigned in February. Katty Moore is serving as interim superintendent.
We'll wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today.
The EPA is finalizing the nation's first ever drinking water standards for forever chemicals. The new rule will require utilities to remove 6 types of forever chemicals from water to the lowest level they can be reliably measured.
Durham School's interim superintendent Katty Moore will present her budget request at a work session tomorrow. The largest line item in her proposal is an $8 million request that would fully fund revised salaries for classified staff. Nearly 1,900 of them were asked to take a pay cut earlier this year when the system learned they had been overpaid for months.
A tanker truck carrying gasoline was hit head-on in Johnson County when a Nissan Sentra crossed the center line. The tanker truck driver, Emmanuel Pickett, was not injured. The driver of the Nissan Sentra, Quinton Greer, died from his injuries. Officials believe speed and possible drug impairment contributed to the crash.
The maker of Scrabble is releasing a new version of the game to make it a bit less competitive. The new edition comes with the traditional version on one side and the new Scrabble Together option on the other. The alternative option is meant to be more collaborative and fast-paced. It includes helper cards, a different scoring system, and team play options.
Some Disney theme parks are making disability access changes, which lets people get a return time for attractions instead of waiting in line. The company changed its policy to include the service for those with developmental disabilities and are unable to wait in a conventional line. Registration for the free service can only be done through video chat for Disney World, while Disneyland in California will have a window at the park for same-day requests.
Time to meet our electrifying pet of the day from Cat Angels NC. Lightning is a 7-month-old cutie with lots of big kitten energy. He's never been apart from any of his siblings, so he needs a home with one of them. Lightning and his siblings have been around people for their entire lives and would do well with grown-ups as well as well-mannered children. If you'd like to meet him in person, you can fill out the application on the Cat Angels website.
Coming up on our news at 4, new data shows inflation starting to tick back up. We'll look into the effect this has on your wallet and what is costing you the most. Plus, what this means for the Federal Reserve's next moves to try and bring inflation down.
And we have beautiful cloudy skies out there. If you like, you know, don't like the 80s so quickly, they're coming this weekend, right?
Yeah.
The 80s, so we'll get past it. We have a weather alert day tomorrow that a lot of folks will have their eyes on for sure.
Yeah, the bulk of the rain, the main event that we've been showing you, that system out from the west, will be moving into our area tomorrow. Today, you might see just a few drops of rain.
NBC News Daily is up next on WRAL. That's your next local news update in 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a great day.
Watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.